My story kind of starts around the beginning of 2018. It was a really busy, tough time. I was under a lot of stress at work. I was loving it, but it was full on and I was tired. And then my birthday came and I thought, I'm going to sit down and have a cup of tea, just rest. And then the phone rings and it was the police from another city telling me that my brother had just passed away with a heart attack and they needed me to do some identification and things around that. That was really tough. The year continued to be pretty full on with work, and then my flatmate had said to me, something's happening here, you're going to go to Melbourne. I know you're going back to Melbourne. Well, to cut a long story short, I am back in Melbourne and I've started working on the staff at Crossway. And on my second day here, we had a prayer meeting, which is the usual practice of a Thursday. And being a newbie, I was put in the middle of a circle of staff and they prayed for me. After that, one of the people came past and said, Jill, you got a minute? I said, oh, sure, you know, all excited. And she goes, I just feel that we really need to pray for your protection. And I just wanted you to know that and that we will be praying for you. Then another person pulled me aside and said, have you got a minute, Jill? Yeah, sure. As we were praying, I got a really strong picture of your life. And she said, have you heard of that Japanese art called kintsugi? And I hadn't. So she explained to me that it was a form, an art form, where you had a bowl, you wrapped it in a cloth and smashed it with a hammer and it went into pieces. And part of the beauty of that art form is that using gold paint and glue, you put it all back together and it looks an even more beautiful art form than it was in the beginning. She said, I hope I'm not intruding, but I don't know what's going on in your life. And I just feel that, you know, there might be a few pieces that God's going to work on. He's going to use some gold paint to, as he puts the pieces in your life back together. I was pretty overwhelmed by that because that lady knew nothing of me or my life. I was just new 2 days into the job. And for the last 4 months, I'd had massive hammer shots to my bowl, that's for sure. My sister had died with cancer after just 6 weeks diagnosis to death. Pow, hammer to my heart. She was my sounding board. I just loved her. She would walk life's journey with me. She was gone. I tripped on the bottom step of my house that I've been living in for 10 years and broke my ankle in two places and developed a massive clot in it. Then I came to Melbourne, moved house, moved into a new job. Not only did I move house, I moved cities and I moved states. It was just massive, like bang, bang, bang with a hammer on the bowl after every event. I was just amazed, you know. But the thing that gave me hope was that this lady, while she'd spoken into my life, she was pretty spot on, but she said that God was going to use the gold paint to put the pieces of my bowl back together. And I can see that's been happening. But, you know, it's not been an easy journey. Thinking of all that's happened in the past 4 months, it's been like a hammer to my bowl all the time. But I still have hope.
You know, Jill's story is like so many of our stories where we experience a really tough time at different seasons of our life. Jill's actually my executive assistant here at Crossway, and having historically been someone who called Crossway her spiritual home, she spent 12 years up in Canberra and worked as an executive assistant for some names that you'd be able to recognise if we said them. But then God called her back, and so Jill these days works together with me to advance the cause of God with whatever He puts in our hands. You know, our theme for this year is All Things New. And while last week we looked at all things new from that kind of collective visional sense, well, what we're going to look at today is all things new from a personal sense. That is the pathway of personal renewal. Now, If we're going to talk about the potential of personal renewal, we've got to be prepared to go to this simple biblical idea. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says this, "Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here." 2 Corinthians 5:17. The old is gone, the new is here. If we're going to be prepared to walk a pathway of personal renewal, the old has to go. There's no potential of personal renewal without the old going. Well, I don't know if you've ever seen the show that has Chip and Joanna Gaines in it, but it's all about kind of renovating houses and all that sort of stuff. And Chip has something he says, it's demo day. It's demo day. He just loves demo day. And, you know, if we're ever going to do a renewal in our own lives, then we actually have to be prepared to begin with a little bit of personal demolition. There's never going to be renewal without us being prepared to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There's never going to be renewal without some brokenness being ushered into our lives. You know, I've been a Baptist pastor now for more than 3 decades. I can remember back in 2005, it was time for Edie and I to have a bit of a long service leave. And Edie, who's my wife, said to me, God needs to do something in your heart. Prior to us kind of coming back and getting back on board and you picking up that kind of key leadership thing, God's got to do something really significant in your heart. So I was on song for that, and we had a great break, and I ate healthy food, I exercised, I took my daily time with God. I was seeking to be as surrendered to God as I knew how to be, and Edie just kept saying to me, God's still got to do something in your heart. He's got to do something in your heart. And so I just, you know, kind of pray and surrender, but she kept like saying it and kept like dripping on me. And I remember getting a bit frustrated towards the back edge of that. We were down to our final week before I was supposed to pick up my key leadership roles again. And she said it to me again, God's got to do something in your heart before you get back into key lead. And I remember saying to her, well, if God's got to do something in my heart, it's just God's got to do it. I can't make it happen. It's just got to be something that God's going to do. And she said, well, I think you need to get away and pray and fast and seek God. And I said, fair enough. Now, I got online and I started looking for a place that I could do like a little retreat to for a few days. And as I did that exercise, I felt the fever come on. In fact, I felt it come on significantly enough that I took my temperature. And sure enough, I had a fever. I remember thinking, there you go. I only have to kind of think about having a retreat at the back edge of long service leave and look, you know, I've broken out in a fever. But I thought it was just going to be something that would kind of wash through. You know, everyone has that sort of thing come through every now and then. But it got worse, and then it got a lot worse. So I started having the most chronic migraine, went to a doctor, they scanned my lungs, they told me I had pneumonia, and they just put me on a course of penicillin and basically said, you know, it'll get better. But a few more days went by, and I got a lot worse. My fever was just shy of 40 degrees Celsius. I was dripping with sweat. I had the most chronic migraine that I couldn't make go away, even with really strong painkillers. I remember being awake at about 2 or 3 in the morning, and I was just kind of crouched over a little cushion. And all of a sudden, I felt like all of my responsibilities rolled off me. That sense of, I have a significant sense of responsibility and leadership and with the church, even my responsibility in my home as husband and father, because our kids were all at home at that stage. And all of a sudden, all that sort of stuff rolled away from me. And I felt like God drew near to me. And it was like I was in this little cocoon with overwhelming pain, but all of a sudden I was just cocooned and it was just God and me. I was meeting with God. And I had this strong conviction of God speaking into my heart at my point of absolute brokenness, and where I was starting to say to God, I've got nothing to give. Like literally, I've got nothing. I could hardly feel like I could get up from where I was crouched down. And I had a conviction of God speaking into my world. And here's what he spoke to me. You are a sinful man. Well, that wasn't very encouraging. I didn't like jump up and punch the roof on that one. It wasn't that he told me I was doing something sinful. In fact, I didn't know anything that I specifically needed to repent of. I wasn't doing stuff that I shouldn't have been doing as best as I knew how. I was living a surrendered life to God. But his word to me was, you're a sinful man. Well, that just made me cry. And after a little while, I felt like there was like a second installment. And his second installment was, and I've called you to be a spiritual leader. Well, the gap between the two felt really extreme. Here I am, the call of God, I'm supposed to be a spiritual leader, but I'm a sinful man. And I just wept and I wept and wept in the presence of God. And that's when, that was my moment of being recommissioned, where he said, so lead. You're a sinful man. I've called you to be a spiritual leader. So lead. And it was so significant. I actually went and woke up Edie and told her. And I told her exactly what had happened. I remember at the time saying to Edie, I feel like what just took place with me is as significant as my conversion experience. I had a really dramatic conversion experience when I first put my trust in Jesus from a totally secular background, an atheistic background, and doing all the stuff a wayward teenager would do who was undersupervised. And when I first put my trust in Jesus, I wept on and off for days. But when God met with me in 2005 and recommissioned me in leadership, it was so significant. But here's the thing. I want to talk today about walking the pathway of personal renewal. And if you're going to walk the pathway of personal renewal, brokenness needs to come our way. Are you prepared for that? Brokenness actually needs to come your way. It's an amazing thought, because it's not the sort of thing that anyone really wants to race towards. You know, we want renewal without brokenness. We basically want God to come to us kind of just where we are and just as we are. And we only want upward trajectory. We only want God to lift us. We only want God to give us fresh perspective. But the Bible frequently speaks about the dip before the rise, the death before the resurrection, the repentance and faith before the new life. So for personal renewal to come, I just need to say this to you as candidly as I can. There is a dip before there's a lift. There's a death before there's a resurrection. There's a brokenness before there is wholeness. As Jill was sharing her story with us before about the sort of blows that life was landing on her, the passing of her brother, then the passing of her sister, then a whole new relocation to a different city, then breaking her ankle. Like, she just felt like she was getting hit and getting hit and getting hit. But then someone spoke prophetically to her about her world getting put back together. And if you are going to experience personal renewal, I just need to say to you, to walk that path means there's going to be a dip before a rise. We have to invite God in to allow the brokenness to take place so that the new life can take place. Look at how the Apostle Paul put it in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He put it like this. He said, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So the life in this earthly body, I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So the Apostle Paul here speaks about his old self having been crucified with Christ. So he knows what it was like as he's writing this. It's been part of his historic experience to do the dip before the rise. He knew what it was. And for him, he had to be confronted by the risen Lord Jesus. His world had to be broken. His world had to be shattered as he was invited to become the follower of Jesus. Now, that pathway, that trajectory of being broken before we're healed is not only a conversion experience. That's also true of us in our broader life. Tasha Cobbs Leonard put it this way. I really like this quote. She said, "God will break you to position you, break you to promote you, break you to put you in your right place. But when he breaks you, he doesn't hurt you. When he breaks you, he doesn't destroy you. He does it with grace." Look at that. When God breaks us, he doesn't do it simply to hurt us, but rather he does it so we can realize who we are and who he is, and so that he can lift us to a newness of life, so that there is the potential of personal renewal. It's going to involve brokenness. If you want to know personal renewal, there's going to be a dip before a rise. Are you prepared to embrace that thought? So many want the gains with God. So many people want to experience the resurrection life of Jesus, but they never want to share in his death. They don't want to share in his sufferings. The Apostle Paul wrote about that, where he said, that I can be conformed to the likeness of his death. And that there's going to be this great resurrection, that I might share in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, he wrote at one point in Philippians. Now, if we're going to know all things new personally, we have to be prepared to embrace this simple idea. Come to a point where you say, with regard to your life and your future in God, you can't, but he can. You can't, but he can. Be prepared to embrace that idea. Now, it goes quite against kind of the Western mindset of individualism, and in some cultures more so than in others, I can, you know, just repeatedly say the positive affirmation, I can. But it's actually not the way of personal renewal. Well, certainly not as a follower of Jesus. As a follower of Jesus, we need to come to a point where we say, I can't, but he can. Now, some people like to read books. I've read a book about a biography about Warren Buffett. And how does he do that? And I remember reading Shoe Dog about the founder of Nike books, Nike runners, I should say. How did he do it? I read the biography on Elon Musk. You know, how did he do it? We want to get the peep behind the curtain on the modus operandi of these key figures. Have you ever thought about the Lord Jesus actually giving a reveal on how he does it? Look at this verse, a couple of verses from John chapter 5, verses 19 and verse 30, where the Lord Jesus said this. He said, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. This is Jesus living as a human being, though he's the Son of God. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Look, verse 30, he uses near identical language. I can do nothing on my own. I judge as God tells me. Therefore, my judgment is just, because I carry out the will of him who sent me, not my own will. So Jesus has come to this point of realization in his earthly ministry, where he's being prepared to speak and teach. Here is my modus operandi. I can't do it. How about that? Like, it feels slightly counterintuitive, doesn't it? That Jesus should just be able to live out of the awesomeness of him being the Son of God, endued with power, prophetic capacity, healing. You know, Jesus has got this incredible capacity that's so way beyond all of us. No, Jesus lived, though he was the Son of God, he lived as a man, but he did it perfectly. And if the Lord Jesus needs to say, I can't do it, I do nothing of my own initiative. I only see the Father doing, I only judge as I see the Father judging. Like, read that little section in between. There's kind of multiple points of reference where Jesus gives us his modus operandi. He's leaning heavily into his Father. And do you see that closing phrase there from John 5:30? Where he says, because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will. I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will. It's like it's embedded in the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if I'm going to pray your kingdom come, I've got to be prepared to pray my kingdom go. It's exactly what the Lord Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if there's any other way, let's do it a different way, but not my will. Your will be done. See, there's the dip before the rise. You've got to be prepared to come to God and bow the knee. If you try to come to God and ask him to simply bless your will, Father, here's my will, and I want you to bless my will. I want you to bless my business. I want you to bless this decision. You're starting from the wrong point. Let me tell you what the right point is, to say, Father, you have my yes. Just make it clear. You want me to go to the left? My answer is yes. You want me to go to the right? My answer is yes. You already got my yes. Just make it clear. If you're making those business decisions and you're doing it prayerfully and thoughtfully, repeatedly surrender it to him. Say, ultimately, God, look, it's your business ultimately. So I lay it out here before you. And as best I can discern, here's the choice I'm going to make. And if I'm choosing wrong, guide me by your Holy Spirit. Because it says in the Bible, those who are sons and daughters of the living God will be guided by the Holy Spirit. Just give God your yes. You got to find your dip. We've got to journey through the brokenness. We've got to journey through the yield before there is the personal renewal. Look at the way the Apostle Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. He says, we now have this light shining in our hearts. He's now speaking about the Holy Spirit. He's still speaking about Jesus coming to us, the truth of God and the gospel of God within us. We now have this light shining in our hearts. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. You see, personal renewal, it's not that, hey, look how awesome I am. It's look how awesome God is. I'm just a clay jar. I'm as fragile and fractured as the next guy. But look how awesome God is. He goes on in verse 8, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed. Crumbs, sometimes we've got our shoulders up in the air, haven't we? We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but we're never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus. There's the dip. So that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. There's the personal renewal. Verse 11, yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus. So that, I love it, here's a purpose, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. You want to experience personal renewal? You're going to have to walk a pathway that does involve brokenness. But God doesn't break us to destroy us. God breaks us so he can put us back together. We have this glorious treasure, God within, the very life of Jesus inside of us. We're fragile, but this life gets to manifest. When Peter and John before the Sanhedrin in Acts 4:13, oh, they could tell that these men had been with Jesus. This life of God that comes out in fragile people. We heard from Jill before. Well, Jill's story's not finished. Let's, Jill, come around the corner about personal renewal with the living God.
As I started to put the bowl back together when I was doing this work, I just had a strong sense of how hard that can be, because there were bits that I wanted to put together that just didn't quite fit. It's a bit like my life that God, I had that sense like the cloth around the bowl, that God was there. I had a strange peace, yet all these things that were going on, all different pieces, my sister, building relationships, learning how to, you know, contribute again and not be sad all the time. Again, as I was putting that bowl together, that verse, God said, I desire truth in the inner parts. And I feel like, okay, God, I surrender. I can't fix it. I'm having trouble putting this bowl together. If this is like my life, you're the person that's going to be putting it together. And as I continued, I thought about all the wonderful things that he'd been helping me do. Like, you know, delivering a hamper and a pantry, and now friendship and reading the Bible with a girl. An old work colleague I'm reading the Bible with. That's not me, I'm not that brave. But you know, God's working in me. He's putting those little gold paint through, and there's lots of lumps in that paint, which a bit ouch at times, to be honest. But you know, God's working in me. And also, I found this verse in Psalm 51. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. He's making me rejoice. He's putting those pieces back together. And I'm really excited because God's doing things in me that I would never have done. And I can see that kintsugi bowl coming together with God's handiwork in my life. It's not all fairy tale. There are tough times. And I just keep hearing that. But you know, I have a confidence. There's so much that's new, and hearing Pastor Dale say his theme this year is all things new, that's so true for me. and what's been happening in my life. But you know what? Even more, I'm really excited and I'm looking forward to what God is doing. All things new. Come on, 2021, I say.
Yes, that's wonderful, isn't it? Absolutely wonderful. See, God does put us back together. He really does. Can I say to you, if you really are seeking to experience all things new, I want to ask you this. Have you ever put your trust in Jesus Christ? Some of you who are watching right now, you've kind of been in the process up to this point. But for personal renewal to take place, there is the necessity of a new birth. That's actually what the Lord Jesus said. And when he was chatting in John chapter 3, he replied and said, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water, which is about physical birth, and of the Spirit. Humans can produce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. See, there's a spiritual birth to take place. And I obviously don't know where you're up to in your journey, but if you're at a point where you've been journeying and you've been considering, gee whiz, you're here, you're at a church online, you're listening to somebody speak about Jesus, you're hearing what the Bible's got to say about the pathway to personal renewal. Well, I said earlier, there's going to be a dip before a rise. So let me point this out to you. If you're going to experience the new birth, the dip is going to be your repentance of your sin, that is changing your mind, your independent life, stuff that you want to do, your own way. You're going to actually have to lay that down before God. This whole idea of repenting of our sin, it's about changing your mind. It's about turning away from doing life our own way and turning to God so that we can do it His way. And at that point, we put our trust in Jesus. The fact that Jesus Christ has already died on the cross for your sins, it gets appropriated into your life as you put your trust in Him. As you say, Jesus, what you did on that cross, I want that to be real for me. I want you to do that inside of me. So I want to give you an opportunity right now for personal renewal to come to you where you actually personally put your trust in Jesus. Now, some of you know exactly what I'm already talking about. If you already know what I'm talking about, you say, hey, I've walked that path. Right now, I ask you to simply pray with me as we pray for those for whom this is their moment. Let's put our prayers beyond time for those who are going to be streaming it later. Let's just fill those bowls with our prayers right now for God to touch people's hearts. And I believe He's doing it right now for you. He knows your name. He is for you, not against you. His self-sacrificing God, Jesus, has already died on the cross for your sins. So you can just come as you are and you lay it all down. You're not too broken. You've not done stuff too bad. You can just lay it all down before Him and say, Jesus, what you did on that cross, that's where you paid for my sin. So are you ready? Just in your own heart of hearts right now, how about we pray together? And you say, God in heaven, I want to say thank you that you love me. I want to say thank you, you've done everything that needs to be done so I can be forgiven of my sin, I can be washed clean. Because Jesus has died on the cross for my sins. So right now, as best as I know how, I lay it down, I turn away from it. I've tried it, doing it my way, and I'm putting that behind me. And God, right now, I'm putting my trust in Jesus. And I ask you, come to me now. Forgive me. The Bible says, if you call on the name of the Lord, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So put your trust in Him right now. Embrace what the Bible says. It was our opening verse today. If any person is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. This is your moment of personal renewal. This is your moment right now. So just with a heart that's surrendered and open, I invite you, find your yes in your heart right now and acknowledge it. Now, tell you what, If we were in the auditorium together right now, I would say, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. And I'd say, if today is your day where you're putting your trust in Jesus for the first time, I want you to lift your face and I want you to raise your hand. Now, about the only way we can get you to do that right now, like if you're watching this on Facebook, you could put a comment there. But really, the opportunity for you to raise your hand is for you to communicate with us. Go to nextsteps.org.au/nextsteps and let us know. Let us know. Today was the day you put your trust in Jesus. We want to support you. We want to send you a Bible to strengthen you, to encourage you, to help you along your journey. We are here for you to help you with your next steps. Okay? Ball's in your court. God is there for you. Open your heart wide and take your next step. Now, some of you, in your own heart of hearts, you're saying, hey, I know the reality of exactly what just took place. I can remember the exact date of that. September the 5th, 1982. I put my trust in Jesus. He turned my world upside down and has never been the same again. Infinitely better, bigger, more powerful, more everything as a result of Jesus. He can make all things new for you as well. But for some, you're saying, I know the reality of that. I want you to say part of the pathway of personal renewal, all things new personally, you need to press on and actually possess that. Press on and possess it. Look at the way the Apostle Paul speaks about that in Philippians chapter 3. He says, I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first took possession of me. He says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. And I just want to say to those, if you know the reality of having put your trust in Jesus, but in your own heart of hearts you're saying, oh my goodness, all things new, I need personal renewal, I want you to understand this. For you, as a follower of Jesus, there's going to be a dip before a rise. There's going to be a death before there's going to be a resurrection. Allow God in, because there's a brokenness that needs to be engaged with. You need to give it all up as you step into His plans, as you press forward with Him. You really can step forward with Him even now. So I actually want to pray with you and for you. So again, together, can we pray right now? So Father in heaven, for each person who says, Jesus is my personal Savior and my Lord, I've put my trust in Him, but oh my goodness, I need renewal to take place in me. So Father, come to them again right now. By your Holy Spirit, do your good work inside their heart right now. Father, help them to lay it all down. Help them to lay down their brokenness. Help them to lay down their plans. Father, help them to allow the past to be the past. And help them now to fix their gaze on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of their faith. And God in heaven, I pray that you'd speak into their hearts right now. Speak into their hearts about your profound love for them, your intimate knowledge of them. Speak into their hearts about your desired future for them, your good and pleasing and perfect plans for them. Oh God, speak to them about your call upon their lives. Speak to them about a future and a hope. Speak to them about that which will expand their hearts and lives because of your profound love for them. And you're working them by your Holy Spirit. So we're grateful, Lord, and we say thank you to you. I just want to believe God for a great miracle in your life today. Trust you, God. Work in power, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Well, everyone, as we wrap up our church online experience today, you might just want to take a little moment. You might want to take a little moment by yourself. You might want to take a little moment with a family member, or that's almost the only person you can kind of have in your home right now, in Melbourne at least. Just take a little moment. You might want to take a little moment to be still. You might want to take a little moment to pray together. But capture the moment as God Himself calls you forward, all things new at a personal level, personal renewal. Embrace it. Your life will be bigger and better for it. God will manifest His life and love in and through you. I hope you have a great week. By the grace of God, I hope we can be back together in the facility next weekend, but let's see how we go. Stay safe. God bless. Keep your chin up and keep your faith in God. See you next time.